In the name of Jesus. I got into the hostel room, and there they were. The mother was holding her baby boy in her arms, lying on the bed, and the father was next to them with a big smile on his face. And the first thing they told me was, one day you understand when you have your own child. I was a young vicar, single, no girlfriend, trying to learn how to become a pastor. But 4 years later, my wife and I, we had the same smile on our face when our son Felipe was born. And then I understood what meant to be a father, and my wife, what meant to be a mother. The blessing to be fruitful and multiply. Of course, my son didn't have an extra blessing attaching to his name, like Abram and Sarai. But for them, the blessing of having a child was long and gone when God called Abram for the first time. He was 75 years old man, and his wife, she was probably 66. And the first thing we read in the scripture about Sarai, that she was barren without a child. And then for the first time we hear, or Abram hears, God saying to him, I'll make you a great nation, I'll bless you, I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. But from the get-go, Abram and Sarai, they knew that if they would have a child, would be a miracle from God. But no baby, nothing. And to make things a little bit more difficult, God continues to tell him, I will bless you, I will multiply you, become a great nation. And Abram looks around and says, really? When? And the only hope he sees is in this Eliezer from Damascus. He'll be the one. He's the heir of my house. But while Abraham is looking to Eliezer, Sarai, her eyes in somebody else. Hagar, she's a viable option. And then when Sarai comes to Abraham and tells him, hey, I have a great plan. Hagar is strategy. Then you're going to get your baby that you're looking for. And everything will be under control. And probably some of you are wondering what happened between chapter 15 in Genesis and chapter 17. Because in chapter 15, when God calls Abraham outside of his tent and invites him to look up to the skies, to the stars, and he asks him, can you count them? And he says, oh, really, I can't. So your generation be like that. And then the scripture tells us that Abraham, he believed. He believed in the Lord. But he could not wait for the Lord to fulfill his promise. But before we start to casting stones at Abram, we need to be reminded that faith always needs encouragement, nurturing. And this is why God spoke to him again and again and again. Abraham's faith needs to be nurtured by God's word. And God does the same with us. Again and again and again, he speaks words of love and mercy and forgiveness to encourage our faith, to strengthen our faith. However, Abram and Sarai, they thought that Hagar's strategy would work. In fact, it was working. Of course, Sarai and Hagar, they had some issues. When Hagar knew that she was pregnant, she started to despise Sarai and look her down. But nothing that Sarai could not handle, right? Being the real wife. Ishmael now was 13 years old boy, growing fast, healthy. And Abram looked to the boy and says, oh man, this strategy is working. He is the one. He is the one. I don't know about you, but I read Genesis 17. My mind goes to Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. When the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than yours. My thoughts are higher than yours. And of course, God was not happy with Sarai and Abram's plan. And then God speaks again in Genesis 17. The Lord starts off by changing Abraham's name to Abraham, which means multitude of nations. He says, I'll bless you, you'll be an everlasting blessing. It's more than material things, because now it becomes clear that it's a spiritual blessing. And to make sure, God gives him an external sign. Circumcision. A sign of pointing to something higher that would happen, not only to him, but to all of us, because through that sign we all be blessed. But God was not done with Abraham now. He says, I have more for you. Hagar's strategy is not my plan, it's yours. Because Sarai, your wife, now will be named Sarah. I will bless her, I will give her you a son by her. And Sarah shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. And then what is Abraham's reaction? He laughed. He says, oh my gosh, God, I'm 100 years old guy. I don't think nobody, you know, I will not have a baby. Look to my wife, she's 90. That will not work. Hagar's strategy is the best thing. You see, God, he's 13 years old. I can hug him, I can kiss him, and know that is the fulfillment of your blessing. You're talking about something in the future that I cannot see, and I can see this boy. And then he tries one more time, right? God, look to Ishmael, that he lived before you. Can you see the boy? He's good. He's the one. Again, when I read this and I think about Abraham talking to God like that, my mind goes straight to Hebrews chapter 11. The chapter that usually we call the heroes of faith. And you see a long list of names, and every time I look to that list, my heart sinks. Because we have Abraham, we have Sarah, we have Jacob, we have Moses, we have Rahab, we have Samson, we have David. A long list of great heroes, are they? But the Bible is not a book of heroes. But praise be to God, we have someone that is able to sympathize with our weakness, someone that is tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. And this is Jesus. And this is why we need Isaac and not Ishmael. And God says no to Abraham. I heard you, Abraham. I will bless Ishmael in amazing ways. I will multiply him. He will have 12 princes coming from him. He will be a great nation, but no. And then God, teaching us how to apply law in the gospel, he says, yes. Sarah, your wife, she will have a baby. And through him, Isaac, I will establish an everlasting covenant forever. And to make sure that Abraham understood well, God tells him when. At this time, next year. And then, in Genesis 18, the next chapter, he says that again. But this time, Sarah is behind the tent door listening. As Abraham did, she also did. She laughed when she heard that she would be a mother of a child. Because you see, in her mind, Hagar's strategy was still a good plan. Everything was under control. Hagar's strategy was lingering in her mind. I think we are not stranger to Hagar's strategies, are we? We have our own ways to keep God at bay, right? When we have our plans, our ideas for the future. Everything's under control, God. I can do it. I know what I'm doing. Everything will be fine. Of course, when Abraham and Sarah looked to their dead bodies, they knew they could not produce a new life. But they forgot to look up to God, the ones that brings death to life. And guess what happened a year later? Who had the last laugh? God. God himself. Isaac was born. The laughter. The laughter of the gospel. And when Sarah held her baby in her arms, she laughed again. But this time not because she was in doubt, but the laughter of celebration. The laughter of the gospel. You see, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God did not need Abraham and Sarah to help him to fulfill his promise. What is impossible for us, it's always possible for God. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Abraham and Sarah laughed when they held Isaac in their arms, but it is in Christ, the Messiah, that all the promises of God find their yes, and consequently, the last laugh. The laugh that really matters. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.